We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody, we're live here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm a little rusty. I didn't do a little cheesy intro before playing the music, but here we are anyhow. Of course, if you listen to Gaming Golf, the dozens of you that do that, you would have heard the most botched opening ever anyhow, so maybe you didn't miss on anything at all. Anyways, Fred, how you doing?
I'm great, and it's good to have you back. We just, before we started recording, did a little quick trip recap, but yeah, it's good to have you back here. You said you missed baseball deeply while you were gone, and I understand that, but it's always good to get away for a while. It is always even better to get back home.
It is. Both things are absolutely true. And there's like that fulcrum at like what point in time on that trip do you start feeling it? And is it the third bat night in a row of bad sleep? Usually for me, I'm not a good sleeper in like hotels usually, okay. Especially with the family, you know, we're all crammed in together and all that. It's a little different. I'm kind of a finicky sleeper, I guess. And then, the flight home was just forever. It takes 2 hours longer to fly back than to get there, basically, because you're into this big headwind the whole time.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Flew over you at some point. Although actually, we are well north of you. We were like over Hudson Bay, even in fact, the north part of Hudson Bay. And then you go up because of the curvature of the earth, because you save a lot of time, and then come down. But it's still just a long flight. Yeah. We're hitting all the big topics right away here. So let's just jump right into it here. Let's start off with O'Neill Cruz. How can we not start off with that? What a fun experience yesterday. StatCast Mania. I tweeted about that. That got a lot of traction tweeting about that, even saying like, hey, isn't this awesome just to have all this data at our disposal? And some people are like, man, I'd rather just say hey, that guy's got a cannon. No, he threw the hardest infield throw of the season, like of anybody in baseball. That's crazy.
Yeah, so StatCast data is awesome when it puts a number behind something that's like really cool, right? So you can be like, that guy has a cannon. It's even better when you're like, holy moly, in his first game, he had the hardest infield throw of the season. The only time StatCast data is like a buzzkill is when it takes something. I can relate to this with Kevin Pillar, who made all those diving catches, and then StatCast would sometimes step in and be like, 12 major league center fielders would have just caught that ball on the run and not had to dive for it. And you're like, oh, you just took all the fun out of it for me. So I can see how StatCast is sometimes takes the fun out of things, but in this instance, I think it made everything even more fun. The exit velocity on his hit and the throw. It's awesome. He's a really unique specimen. Like, this is something where, okay, so he got four RBIs. Okay, that's really not that exciting. Like, he just happened to have a hit when the bases were loaded. We know that's not going to happen with the Pirates all that often. Just those opportunities. But more the eye test, like he's a really unique, like a 6'7" shortstop with great speed and power, has power skills and a cannon of an arm. Yeah. Like, this guy's going to be really fun.
Right. And I agree with you, StatCast. I mean, although sometimes I do like it to when you're, you know, the whole Edmonds versus Andrew Jones thing, like, we could quantify that a little bit more.
Yes. It's great. If you want to know all the answers, It's like going to Google, right? Like going to Google ended just bar arguments where people had just sit and, well, this is this. Well, no, this is this. Well, why don't we just go to Google and we'll find out? Right. Like StatCast will just tell you the answers. So it sometimes takes the fun out of it. In this circumstance, I think it put more fun into it because it made things you were seeing with the naked eye seem even more, become even more special.
When you're dealing with the superlatives and not the mundane, then it's excellent. And
it is.
I'm grateful to have that at my disposal. So I would leave it like that. That's how I am. But and with Cruz, he'll probably move up in the order at some point. I'm not,
he's six today again. Yeah.
Yeah. I think other than number of reps, I don't know how much that matters with the Pittsburgh lineup, to be fair, because is there really a good spot in the Pittsburgh lineup?
I guess there's always better spots. Like it gets him a little more around Brian Reynolds. I know Reynolds hasn't been peak Reynolds so far this year, but I think his OPS this year is like, I don't know, 770 or something like that, which isn't what it was last year, but it's still for Pittsburgh. It's
774.
Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's a slightly above average major leaguer. Yeah.
And I feel like he's never really hit his stride this season. So It could be an 800 something the rest of the 8 something the rest of the way. Anyways, it's still going to be better. I know what you mean. It's not like getting put up high in the Blue Jays lineup or something like that, but it's still better. But this is someone who should generate a lot of fantasy production just because of the nature of his skill set. Because unless the Pirates stop him, like he is going to steal a few bases. He is going to hit a few home runs. Like there should be diverse production there. We'll see what the batting average looks like. I'm not totally sold on that part of his game yet, but we'll see.
Right. And to be fair too, like I don't know, I'm not even up in arms that he's batting six right now. I mean, let him work his way up, you know, get used to the major league pitching for a while. Yeah, six is fine. It's not nine. It's not like Tony La Russa platooning him and batting him ninth when he did play him. I mean, you know, by the way, I'm talking about Andrew Vaughn now. Sorry, I kind of didn't connect that dot, but
my Jays are in Chicago, so if he wants to put Andrew Vaughn back to ninth, he can do that anytime after he hit second last night and got four hits. They can move him to ninth anytime
against bad Barrios. And he was really bad Barrios yesterday, too.
You tweet out bad Barrios as that's a really good, like that's a pun that could stick. I don't know if it's a pun, but
label.
A label that could stick because it also sounds kind of like bad burritos, which can be a thing.
Is that a thing? Is it? It is possible to have a bad burrito. I have had a bad burrito.
And bad burritos can be damaging. Like that can leave you hurting afterwards. But bad burritos is interesting because I watch almost all of his starts, obviously, as a Jays fan. And like he basically has two types of starts this year, especially lately. Like he has starts where he wins the Blue Jays the game, or he has starts where he gives the Blue Jays almost no chance to win. And they last night they came back and almost won. But if you look at his starts, like so many of them are seven innings and, you know, a really low run total where he almost wins the game for the team on his own. And then he has a bunch of starts. I can see one. I just brought up his page quick. 1, 2, 3, 4. So like four of about his last 10 starts, he's given them like no chance to win. And in the other, almost all of the other six, not quite, but almost all the other six, like he's given them almost no chance to lose. I mean, they could still blow it, but he's made it very easy for them to win the game.
See, I think it's really simple. He's not a number fan SP1 or really even an SP2. He's a good SP3, but you almost always have to draft him as an SP2. But you just look at the opponents. Like, okay, White Sox in warm weather. They got Tim Anderson back. Okay, bad start. Don't use. I mean, you can't. I don't think it's that simple, but it's pretty simple. You know, he got crushed by the Angels, but then he faced like Detroit and Baltimore. He had a good start against the Twins, which is a credible lineup. It also a revenge game for him. I don't know.
I was going to say, it seems like when I watch the starts, like you just know in the first inning, like almost all these blowups, like I can see it in the first inning. He's just, everything's getting tattooed off him. And then in the other starts, he looks totally fine. But in the first inning, right from the beginning last night, you were like, oh, like he doesn't have it. And the part of me that has Barrios on some teams just want, and is a Blue Jays fan, just wants to believe like something's going to happen in the dugout between the first and second inning or between the second and third inning. He's going to come back out like a new man, but it doesn't happen. It happened on opening day for them. And like you said, he's a number three starter, a good number three starter. Well,
fantasy
I don't know.
Number three, at least.
Yeah. I don't know what he is because this year he's not even close. Like his ERA is 5.11, his FIP's 4.77. So it's not like it's all been bad luck. But then last year, 352 and 106. The year before, 358, 109. Oh, sorry. No, I mixed up those years. The year before, 348, 104. Like the last couple of years, he was definitely pitching like a number two fantasy starter.
Yeah.
This year he's, well, I
guess. Keep in mind, 2020 is exclusively against Central Division teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps for sure.
Yeah,
The neat thing about Berríos for years, though, is that he just took the ball every fifth day. He got his 32 starts, and he had an ERA in the threes and a whip that was usually helpful, not dominant, but helpful. Mm-hmm. This year he's killing you. He's got five wins. That's something. Because he kind of rotates between, like, five wins is a lot in 14 starts for a guy with a 5.11 ERA, but it's right. The way he's got to that 5.11 ERA. Like, he's had a bunch of starts where he was very, very deserving of a win. It's a really odd mix right now. The Jays pitching is a really odd mix right now too, because Gausman, we'll see how he does tonight, but he hasn't looked like himself the last couple starts. Pete Walker, I'm sure, has lost a bit of sleep.
Yeah, yeah, he absolutely has.
Kikuchi hasn't come around.
Oh, he came around and then went back. You know, he's like poked his head in and then said, yeah, maybe not.
I know the Jays pitching staff has been very have or have not this year. Ryu wasn't doing well before they lost him for the season. Like Manoah's been incredible. And then Berríos, Gausman was incredible for a while. Berríos has had some incredible starts, but the Jays pitching has been, very hit and miss. It's the biggest thing that'll decide them the rest of the year will be, there's some real talent there, but they're like real inconsistencies and kind of concerning. I don't know what totally to make of Gausman's recent struggles. Like I said, I'll be watching his start tonight very closely to see. People aren't swinging at his cutter like they usually are. So what's going on there?
So I'm glad you brought up Pete Walker, because I think we sometimes assign like the hero complex to certain pitching coaches. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
We did that. Like how much of Robbie Ray's breakout last year was Walker responsible for, and how much was it just Ray, and how much was it anybody else? I don't know. I used to do this with, I think we used to do this with Mike Maddox at times. We used to do it, you know, with other pitching coaches, you know, we anoint them as geniuses, like, oh, they can fix anyone.
He was the Pirates guy for years. His name's escaping. It's going to drive me nuts now. Anyways, it doesn't matter. This is more like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was like the Pirates would fix we felt like the Pirates would fix anyone. Yes, we do this with pitching coaches though, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's sometimes faulty, but you know, it's because it fills in the blanks with what we don't know.
Yeah. We want things to hang our hat on. Like we love to talk about how, you know, we give Dodgers pitchers the benefit of the doubt. We give Rays pitchers the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Cleveland, another one.
Yeah. I this year I'm flummoxed because I give Giants pitchers the benefit of the doubt. And this year that hasn't really, I haven't been rewarded for doing that. Anthony DeSclafani's back tonight. We'll see how that goes. But so I was like, oh, he's a Giants pitcher. He's back from injury. He's probably going to do well. Let's get him in the lineup. And then I kind of paused and thought, I don't know, Alex Cobb, Alex Wood, some of these guys haven't been quite as rewarding as I had hoped this year. Maybe I'm not going to put them automatically right back in the lineup. Maybe I want to wait and see. So having blind faith in pitching staffs, I don't know. It feels like sometimes works. I don't know. It feels like it's better than nothing, but it's definitely not an absolute.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think it's easy to get caught into that trap because we're just looking for answers. We're all looking for reasons why things are a certain way. And if there, and more importantly, we're looking for something to like repeat so that we can act on it. Especially if we missed out on Robbie Ray last year, it's okay. Well, let's find the next one.
I think that fantasy baseball is really complicated and our brains love to find ways to make it simpler.
Yeah.
So if your brain is like, oh, I can focus in on like six or eight teams and like try to grab a lot of pitchers from those teams and that'll lead me to success. I've just found like a rock to grab onto amidst the chaos. And so I'm going to get Dodgers. I'm going to get Rays. I'm going to get Giants. Like you said, I'm going to get Indians, Guardians. I'm going to get Guardians. I'm going to get Blue Jays. And then you're like, okay, I got something to grab onto here. So it's not quite as chaotic evaluating, you know, 150 starting pitchers. Now I've got some to focus in on. And our brains love that. I think it's relaxing for us. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel better. It doesn't always lead us to success. And that's happened for me with Berríos on some teams this year.
Right. And it I think that's absolutely true. And I've done it with other pitchers too, and fall in love with them. It's a tough trap to fall out of sometimes. But anyways, lots of injury news, a lot of big news here. Not all of it good. Danny Jimenez went on the IL with retroactive to Sunday with shoulder tightness. I just picked him up in my NFBC main event league where I need saves. Ray Searidge. Thank you.
Ray Searidge. Yes. Ding, that was ding, the ding. Name.
He was awesome until he wasn't. And then all of a sudden you see Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton and Tyler Glass now unlock other places.
Right.
Jameson Taillon, Clay Holmes. Now it's not all of these are under Searidge.
There was a time where you were, there was a time, which sounds crazy now with how bad the Pirates are, but there was a time where you were like, oh, this pitcher, this lower end pitcher joined the Pirates. Pick him up. Ray Searidge is going to fix him.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was their hope. That's why they had that run, is because that and peak Andrew McCutchen. But, you know, hey, that goes a little ways too. But Danny Jimenez, he is out and shoulder tightness. Sounds like that's an easy cut. You know, I don't know who's the next closer. Maybe it's JJ Puck. Maybe they go somewhere elsewhere because they don't want Puck to close. We'll see about that. But it's all about me. So I'm mad because not only, you know, I've been chasing saves all along this league. I have Barlow and I picked up Clay Holmes, and we'll get into Clay Holmes in a second here. And what happened with him last night. And now Jimenez is supposed to be closed or third closer finally. And we're going to be able to, have three closers this week. And now I was able to swap somebody in for him at least, but at the same time, it's super frustrating.
Yeah. And you said you think he's an easy cut. I think I agree with you. I think what else complicates it, although I don't know, the A's say the injury is not very serious, but they say they're not bringing him back until he's 100%. There's obviously the trade deadline coming up, and you know that the A's will move anyone they can possibly move.
Right.
Like they will be the number one sellers probably at the trade deadline or pretty close to it. So,
right.
I think he's a cut too. I guess there might be some circumstances in a 15 where I would try to hold on to him. Maybe if I didn't have a lot of other injuries, but yeah.
I've got a week to make this decision, basically. So,
yeah, for sure. That's the other factor is you're already holding him for half or close to half of the 15-day IL stint anyways.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Sunday night, will you think to yourself, like, even if there's no news, will you be like, well, I might only have to hold him one or two more weeks. Maybe he goes back into being a closer so they can bring his trade value up for the end of July trade deadline. I don't know. He's probably a cut. I could see some people in 15s. Keeping him.
Yeah.
If he gets traded, he's not going to be a closer anymore.
No, probably. No for sure. Absolutely agree with you on that. We'll see about that. Other news, you were talking about Desclafani coming back. At least he's going to have some runs to work with. The Giants already up on the Braves and Spencer Strider 4-0. Spencer Strider been making a lot of strides lately, and he's taking a back step this today here. Austin Wins had a 3-run homer against him.
Oh, he won that battle, didn't he? Fine. Ooh. I know, not my best.
Jeff quality there.
Find someone who loves you the way Twitter loves Spencer Strider.
Yeah.
It's going to be some sad tweeters. There's going to be some people who had some tweets lined up for tonight. You're going to have to hold those for 5 or 6 days.
Yes. Spencer apparently was for hire for the Giants and not the Braves tonight. But
there you go. I put one out there and then you had to top it right afterwards. This is why you're good at what you do.
Come into the kitchen, expect to get burned. Yeah. All right. That's not even a saying, by the way, but okay.
No, but it is now.
It is. Manny Machado, not on the IL yet. And you said this in our outline and I agree with you. I'm stunned that he's not. I heard the descriptions of the injury. I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't sound good. And then I actually saw the injury and I'm like, oh, that looks horrible. So he's not playing tonight though too. So this is two nights and they played yesterday. So two nights in a row off. We'll see though, if they make the midweek decision. Do you have Machado anywhere?
I have Machado a lot of wares. I've got him in a lot of places.
Did you bench him in every place this week?
They're NFBCs. So I benched him till Friday and then we'll see. I will be surprised if he manages to stay off the IL. Good for him if he can do that. They have the DH, right, that they could try to use him for. He doesn't have to steal bases for a while. Machado just swinging the bat and running the bases at 80% would probably be better than what they could replace him with. So we'll see. But I'll be impressed. But ankles do sometimes go way over on their ankles and they're okay. So we'll see. But yeah, I still feel like a short IL stint at the very least. When I saw it, I was preparing for like a month of not having him. So if I get anything, like 2 weeks or less, I'll be really happy.
Yeah, same. I have him only in a score sheet league, but you know, it's a big league to have him in.
Yeah.
I'm doing well in it. And yeah, it's ugly. It's really ugly. So I hoping for the best, expecting the worst. Mm-hmm. Pleasantly surprised to see Jose Ramirez back in the lineup today after his thumb injury. Only I say pleasantly surprised, only surprised because he had an MRI on the thumb on Sunday. So that's always scary. And then we had the off day yesterday. So glad to have him back. Glad to have Jordan Alvarez back. Have both of those guys in one of my main event teams. So Sunday was a pretty dicey day for us.
Yeah, there were a lot of those, like Ramirez, like you said, Alvarez, Machado. There were a lot of kind of wrenches thrown at us on
Mookie,
Sunday.
Yep.
Yes, a lot of ones thrown at us right on Sunday where if you tried to set your bids maybe Sunday morning or Saturday night and thought, okay, I'm good, I'm ahead of the game, I'm done, you probably had to go back and change some things.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you were at least covered for these players.
With dwindling inventory to boot with that. Sure. Who did you add this week? Who were your big adds?
Oh, not much. I added Johnny Cueto in a 15-team league where I felt kind of fortunate that he was on waivers because that's the state of pitching
in
15-team leagues. I did not add Riley Green anywhere. I bid on him in a 15. He went for like 360 or something like that. I wasn't even close. That just wasn't my team needs in that league. I tried to get Arcia from the Braves in some leagues, didn't get him anywhere, but I didn't bid a lot of it, like 20 or so. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get him anywhere. In our labor league, I added Emilio Pagan. I don't know how Emilio Pagan got to waivers. I never bothered trying to go back. When you have a lot of teams, you don't have time on Sunday to go back and trace how some guy got to waivers. You just make the bid and move on. But we've talked about how in that league I could use saves. And to me, in a 15-team league with unlimited IL slots, I don't know how a guy who kind pretty much is his team's closer, like maybe he doesn't get every save, but he gets most of them. I don't know how he ever got to waivers. So I bid $5 out of the 100 and I got him in that league. So yeah, I felt kind of good about that one.
I mean, not nice because I can't trade with you, but then again, I blew it. I could have traded you Giovanni Gallegos for like anything. And he's had like one save in the last 3 weeks, I think. It was last week, but I don't know. It's frustrating because if you look at my roster, the DL is just, oh, it's beautiful. It's not. It's awful. Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Drew Rasmussen, Luis Patino, Twins, Rays, and Brewers pitchers, they all got hurt on me. Bailey Ober got hurt.
Right.
Josh Winder got hurt. I got seven pitchers, although one of them was Cody Hoyer. That doesn't really count. But seven pitchers on the IL and four hitters. So, I'm a little hamstrung right now.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? Well, I heard you with Scott a little bit. What was your favorite bid maybe or pickup from the weekend?
It's definitely not Danny Jimenez, I'll tell you that much. That was frustrating. We could have bid more on Kendall Graveman, but we thought, oh, okay, it might be a week or two. And then he didn't even get the save yesterday. So we'll see. I think that was more about who they were facing in the order and Graveman pitching the eighth so he could face Vlad and Teoscar, not because I don't think that's a sign role. But anyhow, there was one I was happy with. Who was I happy with? I think it was Orlando Arcia. I was pretty happy with.
Yeah.
I did pick him up in one of the two mains. So that was big. Tout Wars, I keep striking out. I went with Bo Brisky. I went after Bo Brisky and didn't get him. An AL Tout. AL only league. You suffer the Boston start, so you get the second start against Arizona and the following week against Kansas City. But Ryan Bloomfield from Baseball HQ dastardly outbid me on that. So I was really frustrated with that.
I have to tell you that I almost finally made a timely pickup in Yahoo Friends and Family this afternoon.
What?
I got home from work. I saw the information about Danny Jimenez. I actually thought for once to just go straight to our waiver wire and grab AJ Puck, and Scott beat me to him by like half an hour. I know.
Which Scott, P&O or Genstad?
Genstad. And this is why I never get these guys. Like I said, like I was at work and I was driving home from work and then I got home from
work. You didn't pull over on the side of the road and do it on your phone?
I didn't know. I need to get some more alerts on my phone or something. I don't like phone alerts. Like I'm trying to go about my day. So anyways, I got home. I opened Twitter. I saw Danny Jimenez injury. I was like, I never think of going to the friends and family waiver wire. It never crosses my mind right away. Like the first thing I thought about was tonight's podcast and making sure we talk about him. But very quickly, I thought of AJ Puck and it was too late.
Yeah. Well, Junstad's all over it. Any A's news.
That's too, true. So that's true. That's his home team.
You probably wouldn't have beaten him anyhow. He probably has the alert. Probably has Billy Bean calling him, actually.
Probably.
Yeah. Definitely not the GM. He's frustrated, forced. He's frustrated not with the GM, but the team president and the owner.
Yes.
He's very frustrated with anyway. So
yeah, and there's no certainty that Puck will be the team's closer now. I mean, he based on 2022 stats has the best skills so far this year in the bullpen. That doesn't mean that they'll necessarily make him the closer.
Right.
They may choose to keep him in other roles. I thought about grabbing Domingo Acevedo because even though his ERA is a little high at 3.82, like his whip's 108, his strikeout rate's, you know, to walk rate's good, it's 29-9. I was like, I kind of with Acevedo, everything except the ERA looks like someone who could be the closer on a losing team like the A's. So I almost went and grabbed him just in case he gets the first save chance, but I didn't. But maybe I will.
Yeah, well, I'm hanging on to like Sir Anthony Dominguez in that league and Ryan Helsley. I've got Liam Hendricks already, so I'm kind of screwed as it is. But I hear you. I'm holding on to Rafael Montero. So I've got like 3/8 of a closer with three players. So that's usually good. That's good roster management.
In that league, it's not very bad because of the daily, it's a totally different animal. And I hope some people I know some people listen to this who are not NFBC types and do daily moves leagues and Yahoo leagues and things like that. It's a totally different animal. Like those relievers you just mentioned, they really tie up. You're going to try to use all of those guys in an NFBC league. It would really hamper your ability to get wins and strikeouts. But in a daily moves Yahoo league, as long as you're using some bench slots on pitchers and you're cycling starters in and out of your lineup too, like it's a really effective strategy. In that league, well, that's the plan. In that league, I found Tanner Houck sitting on waivers a couple weeks ago. That was my best one so far this year. And it was not a timely, like Tanner Houck got a save and I grabbed him. It was just, I was looking at the waiver wire one morning and just looking for another arm to add. And I was like, oh, Tanner Houck, he's been throwing better lately. I'll pick him up.
That's a good pickup.
Maybe stumbled on the closer for a
not good maybe. Team. He's definitely the closer.
Well, hopefully I stumbled on the permanent closer for a good team.
Rock solid. Nothing will possibly ever happen wrong to him ever again.
Then I'm set closer. And saves. Finally. Yep.
Set.
Yeah.
I've got Trevor Rogers in that league and he wasn't really that bad.
Wasn't terrible
yesterday. 7 Ks in 5 innings, finally got some whiffs on his changeup, but still end up, you know, with a 5.4 for the day, ERA for the day. And he's really struggled, but that's been a problem all along. It's just, you know, getting, you know, when you invest such capital on him over other starting pitchers in that range really haunts you.
Absolutely. Especially like we've talked about this year when pitching, especially in the early parts of the season, was going really well. Yeah. I heard you and Scott talking, and I know this is some people's fantasy theory that if you're not going to use a guy for a 2-start week, you should cut him. I don't totally subscribe to that. I feel like there has to be some nuance to it based on the standings.
Yeah.
Right. So, and just, and what his value is to you. So in our labor league, I have Alex Fiedo from the Tigers. He has a 2-start week this week. Yeah. In that league, I'm doing better in strikeouts and wins than I am in my ratios. No, I wasn't taking that chance. I didn't start him. We'll see how it all goes. Maybe I'll wish I started him, but I didn't cut him either because I still think he has a bit of potential. I could see someone with Rogers just because the starts were both the Mets and that's unlucky and crummy. So I could see people out there saying, you know what, like I'm not starting him, but I'm not writing this guy off to the point where I'm going to cut him.
Especially because the disaster scenario is he figures it out and is great over the second half on somebody else's roster. And I mean there's so much potential of that happening there that I think, I agree. There's position for nuance. And I don't really like to use maxims. I just, again, talking about framework, how we like to, our brain likes to sort things out. Oh, I can't use them in a 2-start, then I can't use them. Yeah, well, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, it just depends how carefully you're managing your ratios. And maybe the fact that he had 2 starts was almost a detriment to some people who are very careful right now with the ratios because they're thinking, like, I can't afford 2 blow-ups in a week. And in the end, they didn't get a blow-up, but like you said, they didn't get a good start either. They did get 7 strikeouts, I guess. And he, so
Or if they're like in a head-to-head league where you're limited number of starts too. I mean, that'd be something that'd be a negative on towards that. So
how much longer do you give him to have this 5.83 ERA before you cut him?
At least another month.
A whole month all the way to the All-Star break then.
Velocity's not down, and that's my big takeaway from there. I don't think there's an injury. I just think he's just – I think he's just barely off, to be honest. And the whiff rate was high today.
Guys. Yeah.
He also, I mean, he was walking some guys against the Mets yesterday. He had some hideous defense behind him.
Yeah.
I'm going to be – I say you, make sure you watch the starts. You know, watch what's going on. Is he nibbling around? Is he just not the same guy? Is he way off? Is he just barely off? Is there any extenuating of circumstance? These are all things I think you need to look into before, especially with a player that you've invested so much draft capital in. Yeah. I think it bears the extra time. You know, go back. Yeah. Look, you know, everything's available on MLB.com. I mean, you can look at highlights all the time. I mean, you may not be able to watch whole games, but but you usually get a lot of information at your disposal. You can go, you know, read us, read pitcher lists, read whatever. There's so many different places you can, you know, get the information. Make an informed choice.
I sometimes think about this. Let's say he went on the IL for what was deemed a short IL stint right now. I think most people would still hang on to him. So, for example, in a lot of my leagues, an injured Marcus Stroman is being kept. And I was going to say injured Eduardo Rodriguez, although I know he's away from the team, but he was coming back from an injury. Like in a lot of my leagues, he's still being kept. If these guys are being kept,
why can't
Trevor Rogers be kept? And if you want, just pretend he's hurt for the next 2 or 3 weeks and don't consider using him until you see something positive out of him. Like I said, if they said he had a sprained ankle on his Monday start and he was going to miss, but they said he just missed the minimum or something like the minimum, you'd probably keep him and hope that maybe he figured something out. So if someone has to just say, well, I'm just going to count him almost as one of my injured players right now. I won't use him for 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm not going to cut him. Cause like you said, he's someone who, if he does figure it out, we saw last year what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Good. Speaking about, you know, not playing, you know, non NFBC leagues and, you know, different format leagues, a lot of leagues use just one catcher. And I'm assuming Frank's question here implies that you only use one catcher. Yes. Would you roster Travis d'Arnaud? And I'm guessing Wilson Contreras, but it could be William. I'm not sure. So far they are combined 19 homers from the catcher position. If you're only using one of them, it's tough, but you know, with the number of days off that catchers get, it might be both Braves. It might be the Braves Contreras now that I think about it.
I would assume it's the Braves. Well, I can do the quick math on the two players here and their home runs and see which one's
William. He actually replied.
So it's William. He's got the Braves duo. There.
Yeah. I see. And just roster them both for your two catcher slots.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm getting at now. It's not a one catcher league. It's the two. Yeah. Yeah. So I did that with two Jays. I've got that with Kirk and Moreno in a league.
Amazing.
I'm happy with it. I mean, especially because Kirk DHs sometimes. And same is true with the Braves. Every once in a while, Contreras DHs or plays the outfield. Same with d'Arnaud. Yeah. Less so now that Michael Harris is up and playing great, by the way. But still, they do get they use the DH slot with him a little bit, and it even put Contreras in the outfield and put Ozuna at DH because we've all seen the defensive stylings of Marcelo Ozuna. It's not pretty. So if that just gives them another option there too. So yes, I would. I think William Contreras is good enough, offers something with so many bad catchers out there right now. I think I'm fine just using both of those. Good lineup, by the way, too. Braves lineup. Even without Albies, 1-9, it's a pretty strong lineup. I'd be perfectly content rostering him.
Yeah, my answer is so yes, if you're committed to this plan, and committed means you're going to make sure if it's a daily transaction league that the one who's starting is in your lineup all the time. If it's an NFBC and it's a weekly, and you're just going to use them both as your two catchers, I think that's fine. And you just keep comparing the worst of the two, which I guess is Contreras, to what's on the waiver wire. If it's a daily, as long as you're committed to the plan. So if you're regularly not checking the Braves lineup and not getting the right guy into your lineup, then it's defeating the purpose. If you're willing to check an hour or two before Braves first pitch every day and get the starting catcher into your lineup, then it would obviously work really well.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, absolutely would. All right. So thanks for the question there, Frank. Before we go on to more topics, we're going to insert some ads from our friends at the Blue Wire Network Podcast Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And we are back here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. He's Fred Zinke. I'm Jeff Erickson. Let's talk about a few other issues here. The Rays are just cursed right now. Two bad injuries yesterday. Gruesome injury for Manny Machado. Looks like it's going to be a really long time for him. Kiermaier's also on the IL. I think the guy that's the benefits the most from that is Josh Lowe. Just got called up on Monday. With the baseball reverting to limiting teams to 13 pitchers, that was like kind of as like those two were kind of tied together at one point. Like, okay, we're limiting to 13 pitchers. We're calling up Josh Lowe. Now we're going to probably play Josh Lowe a lot.
Yes, absolutely. So this is his chance. I don't know if he'll be able to, help fantasy teams, but he's going to certainly get the runway to make this happen.
Right.
Fangraphs also lists Brett Phillips now as one of their regulars.
Phillips is in center field tonight.
Yeah.
And remember, Wander Franco's out. Brandon Lau is out.
Yeah.
Franco's coming back soon. Lau, yeah, not so much. But tonight, Josh Lowe was in right field. Vidal Brujan was at second base. Taylor Walls was at shortstop. And Phillips was in center field.
Yeah.
But Lowe batted sixth tonight. It's funny. Isaac Paredes, who they got in the Austin Meadows deal, homer tonight off of Nasty Nestor. And so did Harold Ramirez in the first inning, both when they went back-to-back solo shots.
Okay.
2-2 in that one right now. But those guys were batting 2-3. I mean, it's just, you look at that lineup, you're like, I mean, it's Tigers-esque.
I know. You're just like, how are the Rays going to find a way to make the playoffs again with this lineup? And then they've got some pitching injuries and bullpen especially. But they will. They'll find a way. I bet they'll be there at the end. Something out to mention about Phillips. Left-handed bat. Last year, he got 208 plate appearances against righties. He had an 870 OPS. He had 12 homers and 11 steals in 208 plate appearances. So that's either a homer or a steal about every 9 plate appearances against righties last year. So there might be a path there in 12 or 15 team leagues, just depending on what the race schedule looks like week to week. If he's just going to get the start the Rays won't use him against lefties, but if he's going to get the start every time they face a righty, He is someone who steals, like he had 14 steals last year. He is someone who steals a few bases. It could be something to look at Sunday night just to see what the Rays lineup looks like what the Rays opposing starters look like for next week.
Six stolen bases this year. And you're right about he's like a baby seal versus the club when it comes to against lefties. But
yeah, six steals this year, all against righties. Four homers this year, all against righties. Yeah, he could be useful.
24 plate appearances, no hits against lefties this year. Yeah. 0.043 OBP. So he's just not doing anything against lefties, and he barely gets the chance. So that will put a cap on his value, but he did start against the lefty tonight, for what it's worth.
Yeah, so they're really desperate tonight.
pretty much. They lost Kittredge. I have no idea if they have a save situation tonight, who steps on the mound for them?
Fire Eisen's still on the IL. Jason Adam pitched last night.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Raley, maybe Brooks Raley.
Yeah. That's the real point, is it's someone different every night.
But Brooks Raley's a lefty. Like, they'd have to have the right situation probably to want to bring him in. Maybe not. I don't know. It's the Rays, but maybe someone like Jalen Beeks.
Jalen Beeks was the opener tonight, wasn't he?
Oh, okay. Forget that.
Or maybe it was the primary.
You're right. And he's a little more of a multi-inning. Like, he has 17 appearances in 28 innings. So he's not really a closer. But the Rays would do anything. So.
And I'm not trying to quiz you on the status of the Rays bullpen. I promise you I'm not. Yeah.
No, it's fine.
But it could be one of a billion different people. It could be Colin Pache.
They used to have Fairbanks. He's hurt. They lost him.
Yep.
Nick Anderson, remember him?
Yeah, he's still in the 60-day IL. JT Chargois, who they got in the Diego Castillo deal last year.
Matt Whistler, there you go. There's another one.
Ryan Thompson, Colin Pache. Pache is actually really good. He has four saves. He doesn't even have like a plurality of save chances for the team, though, let alone a majority. I mean, it's just you don't know.
And his numbers, they're okay. They haven't been great this year. Like, overall, his ERA is good and his whip's good, but like a lot of batted ball luck. He's been okay. His FIP's 412. He hasn't been great. So yeah, it could be anyone. I'm kind of done. I'm done chasing Rays saves. I tried Jason Adam last week in a league. He didn't hurt me or anything. He got zero strikeouts, no saves. I'm done. I'm done chasing Rays saves. Mark it down on this podcast, June 21st, 2022. I am done chasing Rays saves.
Done. Wrote it down.
I am not. I have teams that need saves. I will speculate on the Sir Anthony Dominguez types. I am not speculating on Rays guys anymore.
Yeah. I'm that way with the Reds. I'm getting closer to doing that with the Mariners, but then, Ken Giles just came off the IL. Tempted, Jeff? Here's a little, Ken Giles for you. I want to try it. I actually have him still on my DL until, because we, I didn't have to make the move this week. Yep. So get a week to see what happens with Seattle, see if they do anything with him.
I doubt I'm going to chase him, but I would chase any of those Mariners, Castillo, Seawald, him, Giles, whatever, any of them before the Rays.
Okay. Principled stand. I appreciate that there. Let's take a look at a couple other guys. We talked Bad Berríos already. I'm glad you brought up JT Brubaker in the outline, because I mentioned him on the show today. He's actually been quietly very good since good. I don't know about very good. May. He's getting you. He's usable because of the strikeouts. Got his first win yesterday, so let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. But it was an era of good feelings last night for the Pittsburgh Pirates fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he got his first win. Like you said, he's been better. I have Brubaker in a lot of leagues because I drafted him in a lot of draft and holds because he gets strikeouts. I used him in some. I didn't use him in others. It kind of just depended what my other options were, because you just have so many pitchers to choose from in the draft and holds. I didn't bid on him in NFBC leagues for the two starts. I just didn't feel good about it. Now I regret it. But you're right. He had a 2.63 ERA. He's not a whip guy at all. He had 2.63 ERA last month. It's 4.03 this month. 4.03 isn't great when you factor in that he threw six scoreless innings last night. So it didn't start June it wasn't great in June coming into last night. He's not a whip guy. Like I said, he's not a whip guy at all. It's 143 this year. His career's 135. Like, he's going to hurt your whip. He's probably going to hurt your ERA too, like, at least somewhat.
So he's basically a strikeout guy.
But your worst starter is going to hurt your ERA. Like, that's normal for your worst starter to hurt your ERA. It's just a matter of how much. They can't all help your ERA. So it's just a matter of how much is he going to hurt it. Yeah, he's a strikeout guy. Like, he's at 70 right now. You know, he's more than a strikeout per inning guy in his career. If he stays healthy this year, could get you 160, 170 strikeouts. So it's just, the problem is with the Pirates and with his ERA being typically a little high, like, how many wins can he get you? So far this year, it's one. Last year, it was five in 24 starts. So it's just, are you better off? I guess it depends how tight your strikeouts race is. That's the one category, though. He could definitely help you probably more than anyone else that you'll find on the waiver wire.
Yeah. And check to see if he's rostered. And obviously, got to check the matchups a lot too.
Absolutely.
And I think that's just like almost everybody right now. And that's just the thing. It's really hard to find good starters now on the waiver wire. I mean, can I interest you in Jared Eichhoff? No, I don't think so. Can you even tell me, Fred, without looking, what team is Jared Eichhoff on now? He's starting tomorrow.
So I just looked it. I was gonna say the Mets.
Yeah.
I set my guess in my head. I wasn't cheating. I set my guess in my head and then I looked it up. I was gonna say the Mets.
It's the Pirates. Yeah.
He used to be a thing. He was briefly a thing in the first couple of years of his career.
So I get like alerts whenever we have a guy that's doesn't have a projection that's now in our projected starters grid.
Okay. So I
have to throw a projection in there, and it's getting grimmer. Every guy I add, it's just like, not like it's a top prospect. Oh, I can't wait to add this one. No, it's
Jared Eichhoff, four innings, four runs. That's my projection.
Yep. Pain is my projection. Yeah. It's pretty bad all around there. And just trying, you know, finding guys to pick up to stream. You talked about how Josh Winkowski was, maybe it's just stream against the Tigers. So that might have been your answer. Now, he's got another start this week. You almost don't want him to have that second start in a way, because it's at Cleveland, and Cleveland's actually,
they've been hot lately. Yeah.
Reasonably decent hitting team. I don't know if you really want that start, but it may have to have it.
You hope Garrett Whitlock's maybe back by then. That could be if Garrett Whitlock's back and maybe can get in by that start, then maybe you don't get the second start. If I had picked him up, that's what I would be hoping for now. But it does show, like you said, like, he did well against the Tigers. Brubaker did well against the Cubs. Nothing that I'm saying is like new fantasy information, but it's maybe a reminder that if you don't like the talent of anyone on the waiver wire, then just chase a team, like a team that you feel like probably won't beat the other team's starting pitcher up. Chase the Tigers.
Yep.
Chase the A's, chase the Cubs. Right. So chase those teams. If again, first priority, do you actually like any of the starting pitchers on the waiver wire? Do you think there's skills there? If there's no skills there, find someone who's facing the Tigers,
or put in another reliever.
Yep, that too.
Yeah, put in Clay Holmes. Hope he get. He didn't get the save, but he got a win. Oh wait, what? He didn't get a win. What? Did you see that?
I'm not totally familiar with what happened with Clay Holmes last night. I know from Tristan Cockcroft that it was really unusual.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So it is. It's the official scorer's discretion, but it was kind of weird. It wasn't like the starter didn't go five sort of thing. It was Holmes came in the eighth. They're going to have him get a five out save. He didn't get the save. Cole's inherited runner score and one of his own, but gave up this double as a ground ball down the first baseline. Frankly, I didn't think it was that hard hit. I didn't think it was that bad of a pitch, but that put it second and third. Then there was a sack fly and this little dink infield single that was hit so slow that it couldn't throw him out at first, turned into an infield hit. Then he got a strikeout to end the inning. Got out of there, still 2-2. Yankees scored two in the top of the ninth. You think Wandy Peralta came in, got the save. At least we thought he was. Nope. Wandy Peralta was given the win. And it was just scorer's discretion.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm angry.
How is that even allowed? Yeah. Like, how is that? I don't even understand. Like, and how many, like, I don't know. I've played like 25 years almost of fantasy baseball, and how is that even allowed? Like it's automatic. If I was sitting at home, I'd be like, well, Clay Holmes, he blew the save on me, but at least he's going to get the win. Yeah. And he only gave up one run. It's like he gave up seven. Like, what's the scorer's discretion? Like, this is like when people talk about it being the ump show. Now it's the scorer's it's the scorer's show where he's like, oh, I'm going to make my presence felt tonight, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to take away the win from Clay Holmes because I don't like that he gave up two hits and a walk to the.
I don't like that the Yankees had found money with Clay Holmes. Nope. Can't let this happen. We're going to punish them for that.
No. That is ridiculous. That should Major League Baseball should overturn that. That shouldn't be a discretionary thing. I forgot that it even was.
But then again, you know, wins are so random anyhow, and sometimes there's some ill-deserved wins that happen. I didn't think that was one of them. It wasn't like he gave up like a bomb or something like that. Yeah, it's just.
I think when you're as a fan, when you're watching the game, you should know which pitcher is on in line for the win. Like you shouldn't be like, oh, after the game, I'll just wait on pins and needles for the scorer to tell me who got the win. Like you should know as the game's going on. When that game's in the ninth inning, you should be like, oh, Clay Holmes is going to get the win if Wandy Peralta can protect this lead. Like you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Again, it becomes the scorer show. What's that all about?
Right.
Yeah.
It is an MLB position. I did find that it's not someone that like is
that works for the team. Not the or team.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah. So there is that. Yeah,
that would be amazing. So you just put it to the road team all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be awful.
Yeah. You have home team guys just sneaking $100 bills up to the official score.
Yes. Make sure
I pick up the win tonight. I thought it was pretty good.
And make it look good. All right. Frank asks Garrett Whitlock, rest of the year starter. What do you think about that? Do you think he's rosterable as a starting pitcher? Currently hurt.
Yes, I do. Oh, I think he's got the potential to be. Mm-hmm. Like there's a limited track record there. So
we'll see
how it goes. But yeah, I think he definitely has the potential to be. I think there's still potential for Garrett Whitlock to come back from injury and be really good in the second half.
Yeah, I just, you know, I question, you know, it's a hip injury, so it's not like an arm injury or something like that. I do question a little bit like how durable he's going to be able to be at being stretched out third time through the order, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, he's got a lot of good skills. He might be the guy with the best projection that I don't own anywhere. Where I was optimistic about him, but then I held off because of role. Couldn't decide whether they're going to have him close, whether they're going to have him start. I didn't necessarily believe starting would stick. So I just didn't stay with it. I don't know. I'm still rooting for him because I like him a lot. Obviously I do. I had a good projection for him, but I didn't get him anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, before he went on the IL, the last start was poor, not unusual for guys who are about to go on the IL. The two starts before that were six innings, one with one unearned run and one with two runs, not a ton of strikeouts in them, but yeah, he was a little up and down as a starter, but there's a lot of potential there. He's someone who I would wait on. I would want to see some starts when he comes back.
Yeah, for sure. Let's finish with Angels and Royals last night. Once again, facing Thor is a cheat code for stolen bases. Talking with Todd Zoll on the show about this today. He knows that all too well because of in Stratomatic. Yeah, he played in a playoff game where teams ran wild against his Thor. The difference then was at least Thor was getting strikeouts. He's not getting those now.
That's right. Yeah, I've kind of voiced on here my lack of interest in Thor. My interest in Thor is singular now. It's finding players who are going to match up against him.
Yeah,
because the stolen bases are so plentiful. He doesn't give up a ton of home runs. I did comment that he gave up a lot of home runs last night. That's not usually a thing for him. The stolen bases, though, are always a thing. But Thor as a pitcher, like you're getting ratios that are fine, like 3.86 ERA, 1.20 WHIP in this universe. That's fine, but not a lot of strikeouts, only 40 so far. He's fine on a 15 team league. He's 100% stays on your roster. Like you just live with the low strikeouts on a 12 team league. I guess he's on your roster because the starting pitcher pool kind of is starting to suck, but he's like your last starter in a 12 team league because the strikeout rate. Yeah. There's relievers who have almost as many strikeouts as him.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
And that's part of it explains, you know, the Angels were hoping for more when they got that there. So I get that there. I also think the other thing I could draw from that game is I might start finding lefties to start against the Angels. Chris Bubich had 7 strikeouts in 6 innings yesterday. Robbie Ray had his big outing Friday against them. Lefties against the Angels, it's a good way to find some strikeouts.
Yep, you know, that could be a good plan. And this is, we've hit the point in the season where there's enough data. Sometimes I jump the gun on this, and other people do too, but where you get early season data and you start assigning, you know, this team's good versus this team's bad versus that. I think by now, though, I think we're far enough. You know, most teams are on 65 games into the season. I
Yeah.
think we're good enough now that we can say confidently, you know, at least with some confidence, which teams are best and worst against in certain situations. So yeah, and the Angels against lefties, yeah, that can be a good target for you for strikeouts.
Indeed. All right. Anything else you want to close up with here before we sign off?
Let's see. Paul Goldschmidt, we got to, I don't think we covered
Oh
him.
yeah,
He's
we didn't
day
mention
to
him.
day. He's
Yeah.
been good. He's been good this year. No one mentions him. I'm just kidding. He gets mentioned all the time.
Third
Good
rated
for him.
player in our earned auction values tool on RotoWire right now, which is pretty amazing because he's not much of a runner. Does have three stolen bases, but he is sitting out tonight, so something to watch for with that.
So yeah, he's day to day, which is like wasn't supposed to be a big deal this year, but I'll give you a couple rapid fire ones actually on the way out. So Aaron Ashby's hurt. Keep him, wait it out, or drop him.
We're
Forearm
assuming that
strain,
we
I
don't.
think.
I think if you
Those
don't
are never a
have,
big deal.
yikes. Sorry.
That's okay. I'll start by saying I would keep Ashby. I just wrote him up about a week ago. He's got a nice mix of strikeouts and ground balls. He walks a few too many batters, but nobody's perfect. Well, some
I
guys are.
like the potential ability.
Yes.
I think if you're in a league where you don't have IL spots, he becomes a hard guy to hold on to.
Would you keep him or Trevor Rogers?
Rogers.
Okay.
He's
Okay.
the
I think
healthy guy now.
for sure. Yeah.
I think if those are my only two choices for a drop, I'm dropping Ashby first.
Yeah. And say, so I'll give you one more thing before we go. And it's Alec Thomas. I couldn't believe, and I know not every, because not everything's NFBC. I couldn't believe when I was writing him up last week at the time, and I bet it hasn't changed much. He was 80% available in Yahoo leagues. We started with a prospect, O'Neill Cruz.
Right.
Alec Thomas, I don't know if people totally get how high he is on the like MLB pipeline type prospect list. Like he's really high on those lists. He's come up. He's played fine. Like his OPS is like in the mid to high 700s. He's got a few homers and he's got five. He's got he stole fourth base. So he's kind of like contributing all around.
Yeah.
He's doing everything right for a high-end prospect. He's come up. He's not getting embarrassed. He's going to keep playing. People aren't really giving him much attention. I don't totally get it, except maybe that he's on the Diamondbacks and people don't pay
He
much
was on
attention
the
to that.
Diamondbacks and he was batting low in the order for a long time
Yeah.
when he first came up. But you know, with Ketel Marte, who has been out for a while, I think he's back tonight, actually as a
Yeah.
DH. But I think that bumped Thomas up in the batting order, so
Yeah.
that might have something to do with it. But otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why. Five homers, four stolen bases in 39 games as a 22-year-old. Yeah,
Right.
I'm interested. Obviously, he's not available in Yahoo Friends and Family because you would have checked that already. So
Yeah.
I'll spare that check,
And
but
I know he's not. I know in NFBC leagues, it's a moot point. Like I'm sure he's rostered in
right.
all of them, even the 12 teamers. But for people on other who play on other sites, yeah, he's much more widely available. I think if he had come up to a marquee team, it doesn't have to be the Yankees. Like if he had come up to the Braves or something like that,
Yeah.
I think he would be rostered in twice as many, way more than that, more than
A
twice
team
as many
that's
leagues.
actually good, team that's contending. I
Yeah.
mean, the Diamondbacks, better for better or worse, are considered like a dead end team this year. Even when they had a winning record, it was like, I can't believe the Diamondbacks had a winning record, and then they lost a ton, and so they kind of
Yeah.
dropped that out of consideration there a
I feel
little
like
bit.
people are going to race out to pick up O'Neill Cruz, and Alec Thomas has been sitting there the whole time. And I would
Yeah.
rather have Cruz. I think most people would, but there's a very, very
I
plausible
don't
scenario
know.
where Thomas is better the rest of the way.
I might rather have Thomas.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, Diamondbacks lineup's bad, but can it be, is
It's better than the
Pittsburgh any
Pirates.
better? I
Yeah,
mean,
I know by the end of Cruz's first game, he was rostered in more than double the Yahoo leagues than Thomas. I think maybe, sorry, by first pitch of his first game, he was rostered in more than double the Yahoo leagues of Thomas.
yeah.
So, and he hadn't even played yet. So, and Thomas, yeah, like I said, has been doing well. People, fantasy people get bored with players so fast.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
We'll close with one question Matt posts in the forum here. Do you drop you? Is that Lourdes Gurriel or yeah?
That's
It's
Gurriel
Gurriel
Jr., so it
Jr.
should
So
be
it's got to be
Lourdes.
Lourdes. Yeah, not Yuli. Yuli's actually pretty sketch too this year. Mm-hmm. He's having a pretty bad year. Lourdes is batting eighth tonight. Four homers, two stolen bases, 271. I mean, he's fine. It's not great though. I think Happy Fun Ball really made him look a lot better than he was. So
Gurriel's been really good in June, 898 OPS.
Okay.
Hit a grand slam recently. He's hitting 350 this month. He kind of is what he is. Like, this is his home, right? You, like you said, like the home runs are down. Like,
he didn't play yesterday. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, he's only got four homers this year. That's a big problem. But he's already got a couple this month. His batting average is 271. That's close to his career batting average. You never thought you were going to get steals anyways. He just needs a few more home runs, and he's back to Lourdes. I think the rest of the way he will be what we expect Lourdes to be. And what we expect Lourdes to be is only like a three or four homer a month guy. Like, he's a 20 homer guy. That's three or four homers a month. He's off that pace right now, but not by a ton. So, I mean, the question of, do you drop him when Pena comes back? Like if you need to activate Pena and you need to drop someone, then I guess you could drop him. It all depends who else you could drop. I would rather have Pena the rest of the way, just because the power speed mix is more exciting. But Lourdes is usually a contributor. Yeah, he's hitting really low in the lineup, but that's because the lineup's been really good lately.
I can see why the question was asked, though. He sat out two of the last three games. I mean,
I
get it. And then he's won for his last 12 going into tonight too. That one was a grand slam. So, I hold on for a while. I guess a lot of that also hinges on who else would you drop otherwise. Obviously, you're not dropping Pena, so then you have to find another drop.
Yeah. And I don't think there's an injury here. Like, hit the grand slam Sunday, I think.
Right. And he's playing tonight. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't drop, but I understand.
Well, if you have to drop him. Yeah. If it's a 10 team league and this is your worst player.
Yeah.
Got to go.
All politics are local. That's absolutely right.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Fred, what are you working on?
Last week I had an article on Yahoo about ground ball heavy pitchers, and kind of profiled some of the most ground ball heavy pitchers in baseball, and this week, and kind of why they can be a good source of ERA, but probably not often a good source of WHIP. And this week I'm going in the opposite direction and talking about fly ball pitchers, and who can often be a good source of WHIP, but are not always a good source of ERA. And who are some of these? Christian Javier, Tristan McKenzie, some of these really, one of your new faves, Hunter Green, are some of these really fly ball heavy pitchers.
Right. Fly ball heavy pitcher in the bad fly ball ballpark. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong? I think his worst starts have been on the road, actually, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff. Well, hey, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for all the good questions, the forum. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you. Run it back again next week. Take care.